So in the bottom of Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, the very last line, the Gemara had been telling us how many different strings were needed for the various begadim. So the Gemara wants to understand, how do we know that the me'il is shnei masar minal? How do you know that the me'il was made of 12 different strings? So Gemara brings a pasuk, the chsiv asis es me'il ha'efod, and they made the coat that the Kohen Gadol would wear, kliel techeles. So lashon of kliel, Rashi says the top line is gedil. It means two strings wrapped together. Vein gedil pachas mishnayim. Gedil means I don't know English how they translate it. Wound together, braided. Okay, so braided. So to braid, you need at least two. So there's a minimum at two kliel. And then with that, the yalf techeles mi paroches. And the word techeles is used in, you know, the color techeles is used for meal. It's also used in paroches. So Gemara makes the following gzeir shava ma lahalon shisha afkan shisha. So just like the paroches, techeles meant six, so too by the meal meant six. And you have that with the gedil, with the kliel, which is a gedil, with it's braided, you have six times two. Each of the six have to be two. That gives a total of 12. That's the drasha. Again, the number of these drashas are very interesting. So the Gemara says, well, v'nilef mishulyav v'rimonav. So why do we learn it from the parochas? Why don't we learn it from the me'il itself? The me'il itself, the bottom of it, and the bells that were in the bottom there had only eight. Mal halan shmona afkan shmona. Because the word techeles is also used in describing the shulav and the rimonav, the bells that would hang down from the coat. So why don't we make a gzer shav in that direction and say that the me'il itself had eight strings just like the rimonav? Why are we learning it to elsewhere to the parochas? So it says the Gemara as follows. Because done in kli mi kliv ain't done in kli mi tachshit. Because when we're comparing gzeir shavas, we have two options. We have the me'il. We could either compare the me'il to parochas, or we could compare the me'il to the rimonav. So the me'il and parochas are very similar because they're both kalim. And as opposed to the rimonav is not a kli, it's rather a tachshit. It's a decoration of the kli. Interesting to note here that parochas is called a kli, by the way. That's very interesting.
I was also thinking that, yeah.
I remember seeing things about this. I'm not sure if they discussed this in the back at all.
But I think the Mishnah calls everything kleis, no? Or where do we read on the word kli?
I'm not sure.
Then see, the curtain was bent over somewhat at the top, therefore forming a tent over the arrow.
Ah. Is that Gemara and Beitza or something?
Yes.
Okay. Jeez. So the Gemara says, so therefore, since that, as we were explaining that the parochas was bent over, it served a function as a kli, so that's why it's called a kli. So just like the Parochas is a kli and had six strings, so too me'il had six strings like the parochas, but we double up the me'il because it had the word kliel, so that gives us a total of 12. So the Gemara said, Adrabba, the opposite makes much more sense. Done in gufo me'gufo, vein done in gufo me'alma. It doesn't make more sense to learn the me'il from something of its own, meaning the rimonov and the shulov, which were the things that hung at the bottom of the coat. Wouldn't it make more sense to learn from there as opposed to some other material, something else like the parochas? So Gemara says, "Hainu da'aminon." This is what we said on yesterday's daf. The shar begadim shelo nemar bahen sheish. So we had the Gemara said sheish said a few times. We have a number of drushas why the word sheish was used, and it says it. Well, how many times here? It says vayas. I'm reading from yesterday's daf. It says vayasu es haktona sheish ves abmitzefes sheish ves parai amigbas sheish ves mechasevad hasheish mashzar. So it says five different times it says the word sheish. What are the various drushas? So what do we use from the word sheish? So one of the reasons we use it, the Gemara told us, but didn't tell us what it was for yet, but it said, Chad, exactly, the last one was the shar begadim shlo nemar behen sheish. One of them was used for sheish, which is the other begadim. That was to tell me that this very, the case is the me'il. Even though the me'il doesn't say sheish, it has the same din as sheish from the other pasuk. We're applying it to this pasuk of me'il, and that's how we know the me'il has six strings, times the two, which is implied from the word kliel. That gives six times 12, totaling 12. That's the source, according to the maskana of the Gemara. Now the Gemara moves on to the next kli, parochas. Parochas had esim v'arba. Parochas was made of 24 different strings. How do they know 24 different strings? Because dalad de shisha, lo dinav, lo dayana. Because if you look at Rashi, Rashi, two lines from the top, says, Arba de Shisa Shisa. Arbas minim shel shesh shesh. There were four different strings. Each string had a total of six times over. D'ha nemar bo, it says in the context of Paroches, shesh. Vamar mar dvarm shenemar ban shesh, mchutan kafel shisha. So you look at the Pesuk in Paroches, there are four different materials used. I probably have them on the side here. Which materials they were? I have here. Tcheles, argaman, tolash shani, v'shesh. Those are the four different ones. And then on top of that, we have any time the word shesh is mentioned, that means all the begotten in the context, all garments have to be six times over. So those four garments times six gives us a total of 24. Lo dina v'lo dina. There's no discussion there. That's clear. That's the answer why we have 24 strings in the paroches.
Same color of the tzitzit?
Yeah, same color. Same exact color. The Gemara goes further and says, what about Choshen ve'efod v'esim v'shmona? So this has an interesting number of 28 strings when it comes to Choshen ve'efod. So the Gemara says, Minalan, how do we know that's true? D'chsiv v'asisa Choshen mishpat, ma'aseh Choshev, ki'ma'aseh efod ta'asenu. So you're supposed to make the Choshen like the way you made the efod. And the Gemara, the Pasuk continues and says, Zahav, Tcheles, v'argaman, v'tilashani, v'sheish mazhar.
What is the Choshen?
Choshen, so you have a picture here. Sorry?
Metal piece?
It's
no,
here.
This
is the Choshen here, the breastplate that went over it.
Oh, the breastplate?
Yeah.
So it is metal.
No, but no. But it's, no, it's not the metal, it's what held the
underneath. Here
it is. Underneath, yeah.
Here, this thing. This is the Choshen, this is the AFO, the
right.
And this is the Choshen that held together, but it was the metal piece.
No, that. I think the Choshen wasn't the metal. The Choshen was the metal. The Choshen was the.
So if it's for metal, how can you say with this type of.
The way you had to keep it together.
The strings.
Connecting it to. How much of was the Choshen the strings alone? Let's see.
Because we're in the Turin, we're on it.
Yeah, they can be on now on the metal.
Maybe.
Makes sense that it would be metal.
Turin with Turin. With the ones on top of it, with the inside the room. Do you remember they had those little that was inside.
So it's the strings of the Choshen.
The strings that connected the Choshen, exactly.
What about this piece? The back part of it.
I think that's the whole Choshen. This whole piece, this whole thing, I think is called the Choshen. Inside had a Shem
Hashem. Made of metal too.
The squares made of metal. The back and the front.
Uh-huh.
They had 12 stones on the front.
Only the strings are.
The strings,
closed.
Exactly. So, the pasuk again. Let's read the pasuk again. Minalam dechsev v'asisa choshen mishpat ma'ase choshev ki ma'ase efod. You're supposed to make the choshen the way you made the efod. The efod was the apron, if you will, that the he would wear, and it would be made. The pasuk continues ta'asena zahav. That's one tcheles argaman t'lashani v'sheish mashar. That gives a total of five. So, arba de shisa shisa, four of them are going to be six each. That's 24. The zahav arba, and the gold is only going to be eight. That gives us ha'asrin v'tamah. That gives us a total of 28. So the question is, why don't we say all five of them are a total of six? Why are we saying four of them are six, and the fifth one is going to be only four? So the Gemara asks, v'ema zahav nami shisha. Maybe say the gold is also six, and there should be a total of five times six, totaling 30. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Kra, he quotes a pasuk that says Zav can only be four. How does he know Zav is only four? V'katzat psilim psil, the pasuk says. Or v'katzat psilim, it says you cut off the psilim. This is when you connect the choshen to the ephod. The pasuk says you use gold strings. So why does it say, it says again, v'yiraku es pachei hazav v'kitzat psilim, you cut off strings. So, psil, psilim, harei kandal. Why is it psil and psilim? So, psil, psilim, the drasha is a total of four. How does it give us a total of four? So, look at Rashi, says, v'kitzeitz psilim, towards the top. Psilim, mashma train. Psilim implies two. Uchshakotzeitz kolacha. When you cut each psilim, that goes to a total of four. L'shaim havalei dalim. So, we have a special drasha that talks about zav has to be only four, because kitzeitz psilim means split in half psilim. You take two psilim, put them in half, that gives a four. So that's four. The other four materials have to be six, as we've been saying. Each of these different strings are totaling six. So four times six is 24. plus the goal, which was only four times over, that totals 28.
This pasuk from Shmos is referring to this same topic or to another topic?
I believe this topic of talking about the various begadim. I believe so. Let's see. We can look at the pasuk. This is Lamates. I think it's when he actually wore it, maybe.
Which pasuk?
Now it's coming. It's probably
the Kitas.
Not coming. It's the Tzavah, probably.
Tzavah tells us, I think, all about making the begadim. And then we repeat everything in Vayaka Pekudei, everything gets repeated.
Right.
So in Pekudei, what's it? Lamates, Gimel it says?
Yeah.
When it repeats it, yeah, it says, Vyasu, Vayasa Sa'ifo, Zav Techeles. And in that context, Vayaku es Pache Azov, Vikites Psilim. You take out some gold strings, you cut the Psilim in half. And the lasos besocha tcheles, besocha argaman, besocha salas shashadni, besocha shesh.
It does have it separate.
Exactly. So repeating it.
Which book is Baalotcha?
In Bamidbar.
Yeah.
Okay. The Gemara says now, Ravashi Amar. Ravashi gives a different answer based on the pasuk we actually just read in Parshas Pekudei. How do we know that the choshen, the ephod, was made of 28 strings. So Rashi Amar Kura Lasos Besocha Techeles. You make the gold, they're talking about the gold right now, you make the gold into the Techeles. U Besocha Argaman. Hechi Navid, how are you supposed to do this? Navid Arba Did Tre Tre Havlu Tamne. If you make, how do you split up the gold between the four other garments? Remember the four garments and then there's gold. The four garments are Techeles, Argaman, Tzalashani, with the four plus the gold. So the pasuk says, take the gold and put the gold in each of the other four. So how are you supposed to put the gold in each of the other four? If you're going to say you put two in each of the four, that totals eight. That's too much. Navid trey de trey. Trey. Vitrey de chad.
If you put two.
If you put two in each of the four, well, that's going to total eight.
Because
that's much
becomes,
more.
Because they get doubled. It's four. It's four plus four. Is that what it is?
No, it's two times four.
Right.
If you take
so,
each of four.
Right. So two times four plus four.
No, I think it's saying you take the way it worked was. The way I'm understanding it is you had six strings of tchela, six strings of argamon, six strings of talashani. Now take the gold. The plastic. Put the gold in each of them, before you weave them together.
Okay.
So how many do you put in there? It said besoch. So the Gemara trying to figure out.
If you put one, it's not eight.
Well, so that's going to be the answer,
but
the Gemara. Now, if you put one, no, because we're not. The gold's never by itself. You're only putting gold in each of the garments.
Right.
The answer is going to be you put one in each,
right.
Which is four.
Total four, but it becomes seven on each one.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right. But before you get to that answer, I see what you're saying. The Gemara says, well, how do you put them inside each of the four different garments? If you put two gold in each, that's going to be an additional eight. We're only looking for an additional four.
Okay, I get it.
So then the Gemara says, so maybe. Navid trey,
ditrei,
two and two of them, ditrei dechadchad. Right, so take two. So let's say for the tres argamon, put two strings of gold, and tolash shani v'sheish, put one string of gold. Maybe you can split it up that way to give a total of six. Because we're trying to look for the number six right now, because everything else always has a six. But that's not going to work either. You can't do two, two, and then one, one, because the pasuk says v'asisa. What does Rasisa to indicate? Sheyuhu kol asuyos of shavos, that all of them have to be equal. You can't have two gold, and one gold, one gold. Therefore, we're left with the only way to be equal is one in each of them, totaling four things of gold, or the way you look at it is seven in each. They're now, they're, instead of tcheles having six, they're really seven strings, one of them being gold, and seven of argamon, and seven in telashani, and seven in sheish. Seven times those four gives us 28. Okay, so a few different ways to get to the total number of 28. So Gemara says now, different topic. Interesting, I used to give a minchas chinuch shir when I lived in Queens, I think it was. So when we got to these parshios, we start getting to tzava and truma and vayaka pekude. We used to like to pick a parsha on the minchas chinuch on the parsha, and there are very, very little mitzvahs to speak about. There are only three isurim that exist in making the big day kuna and the Mishkan. Building the Mishkan and the big day kuna, only three that exist throughout those parshas. So the three are listed right here.
Have you lived in so many places that you can't keep track of
what
you would do?
I think I gave shir so many places,
right.
I can't remember where it was. Because I also, when I was a tekufa, before I was married, living in Tinek, we used to give chabur in Tinek also. So I don't remember if it was in Tinek or if I was in Queens. That's the suffix. It definitely wasn't in the five towns. I think it was Queens.
Though. Which place you like the best?
They're all
wherever,
different tukuvah. Different
he was at that moment.
So says the Gemara, Amar Rach, but Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Hamekareya big day kuna loke. When a person rips any of the big day kuna, he gets the malchus for it. Shinemar lo yikareya. You shouldn't rip it. That's a pasuk. Now, the Gemara says, Maskifla, Rav Acha, Bar Yaakov, Vidilma Hachi Kamar. Maybe the pasuk should be interpreted as follows. Hachi Kamar Rachman. The Torah says as follows. Someone mentioned some interesting musa the other day. The way we say it in Yeshiva is Rachmana. We usually interpret the word Rachmana to be, the Torah says, literally Rachmana means Hashem. Hashem says. So best part to say Hashem says. We always think of, unfortunately, as a not intellectual pursuit, but we look at it as a Chafsa Shel Torah. We always forget, we don't always, but sometimes we forget that the source is Hashem, of course. The source comes from Hashem. Who's that speaker, Rabbi Hartman? He said he teaches in high. He runs a high school now in London. I heard him speak a few months ago.
So he was talking about the Maharal, right?
He always talks about, exactly. He has the notes in the Maharal. He says the number one question he gets from high school kids is, I'm learning Gemara all day long. Where's Hashem? Where's Hashem in the Gemara? You don't see Hashem in the Gemara. So he gives another answer. Rachmana.
You don't see Hashem. All the psukim is from the Torah.
Yeah, but the many psukim you go by, you don't see Abai and Rav going back and forth, or Vina Rav Ashi going. They don't talk about Hashem at all. Where's Hashem in this whole book? Anyway, so the word Rachmana and also Hashem, so Rachmana, we bring it to life a little bit, it helps realize that there's another being here that's making this all happen.
That you have to learn Kabbalah and Mozart when you learn Gemara.
Right.
You can't learn just Gemara.
Exactly. Can't think of it just as just knowledge. It's as a being behind this. So anyways, so Dilma Hachi Kama Rachmana. Maybe this is what Rachmana, what Hashem had in mind. Navid le Safa Kihecha Delo Nikriya. You should make a lip around the garment in order that it shouldn't rip. Not that it's there to rip it, but that's the pasuk says. I have the pasuk on the side here. It says Hayaki Rosho Pi Rosho Besocha Safa Yelapiv. What do you call this? The top, the neck area of the shirt of the coat.
Collar.
The collar. There you go. The collar of the neck. The collar of the coat. Safa Yelapiv. There should be like a lip around it. Saviv Masi Oreg weave together, kafi sachra, yellow, lo yikareya, and don't rip it. So maybe it should be read as make this safa around the collar so that it shouldn't rip. Not that they're saying if you do rip it, you violate the Aveira. The Gemara says, Miksiv shelo yikareya. Does it say that you shouldn't rip? It says, lo yikareya, do not rip it. So it's clear from here that there is an Isser deraisa. Now it's interesting to note that the pasuk of lo yikareya is in the context of the Me'il. The Gemara presents the Isser as Hamikareya Big Dekuna. It applies it to all the Begadim, Lav Dafka, the Me'il. So if one looks at the Rambam actually makes a chilik between the Me'il versus the other Begadim. Rambam writes that it's Machlokas how to interpret the Rambam, but he says if a person rips the Me'il, he's over an Isser Deraisa. V'hu Adin, and also the same thing holds true, if a person rips the other Begadim, B'derech Hashchasa, in a destructive manner. So some Achorim say, there's a difference. When it comes to the Me'il, if you rip it, even for a constructive reason, let's say there's a little tear in the Me'il, and sometimes to weave it, to mend it, you have to rip it a little bit more to weave it back better. So according to the Rambam, that would be problematic because you ripped the beged. But let's say it came to the ksones, the pants, and it ripped. And you have to rip it in order to sew it back together better. That wouldn't be a problem because according to the Rambam, only derech hashchas, only a destructive act. But an act that you destroyed in order to reconstruct, that would be permitted. And others say, no, the Rambam says across the board, even by the meal, only derech hashchas. When he says derech hashchas, he goes back even onto the meal. So it's a machlokas.
But didn't we learn that these are the psilos, psilim, psilos, right?
Yeah. For Simchas Beis Shoreva.
Yeah.
So Rashash actually asks this question. Rashash says, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, the Gemara in Sukkah, two places, I think. Right. He says that, wait a second, didn't we know that it came to Simchas Beis Shoreva that these huge bonfires or these lanterns that they would use to light up all Yerushalayim to dance at the Simchas Beis Shoreva Sukkot nights. The whole Yerushalayim would be lit up. It says that a woman who would be baking her challah, kneading her challah, she had enough light at nighttime from these massive fires. And what would they use as the wicks? They'd take the begadim,
right,
rip them, and make wicks out of them.
Big day kohanim.
Why?
Couldn't find the wood.
Oh, it's a way to get rid of it. It's for a bit.
Right. Instead of throwing the garbage, you burn it and you use this fuel. But how are you allowed to rip it? So the Rashash, I think, explained. I think I have back here. Rashash says, since it already was worn out, only when it was worn out, it had no longer a use, then there's permitted. That's not considered korea. It's only korea when you rip something that has a use, but this no longer had a use for it anymore. Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't have a shame big dick kahuna anymore.
Right.
It really can't be used.
Exactly. So once it no longer gets worn out so much, so the isser doesn't exist. It's not called a big dick kahuna anymore. Okay, so that's the first issue that exists in all these parshios of the Big Day Kuna. You can't rip the begadim. And the question is, again, whether there's a difference between the meal versus the other begadim. Number two says, Rabbi Elazar, and this is the first wide line down, Rabbi Elazar, HaMeziach Choshen Me'al Ha'efod. Somebody who moves the choshen, which you said the breastplate that was attached to the ephod, if somebody were to remove that. What does the word Meziach literally mean? How do they define it? Does it mean disconnect or just move it off of it? Hamenasek.
Loosen.
Okay, I have here, it says menasek, which means to disconnect.
Yeah.
It's a chibor that you have menasek there also.
Oh, but menatek.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but you have there, it seems to just move, to loosen. So if you have ties and you simply loosen it, as opposed to the way it's interpreted here, it means to actually disconnect, cut the strings. So I'm not sure. This is, he's quoting a Rashi ala Torah. Let's see if Rashi how he interprets this. Rashi ala Torah says, Chafches, Chafches. Yizach, he said Lashon Nisuk. Yeah, to disconnect. It's apparently an Arabic word. Let's see what he say here. They shall attach. And it's interesting, but in the English, in the article, it's consistent. It says loosen. It's Machlokas Artsko versus the Rashi. I would go with Rashi. And Rashi says to disconnect, unless I'm misunderstanding the word Nisuk, but I think Nisuk means to disconnect. So, this says also, what's the word it uses here?
Here it says just...
I thought my Mesifta said Nisuk. I didn't realize your article also said.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I guess... Unless our Hebrew is so, English and Hebrew is so bad, but we have an Israeli which tells us it means disconnect.
But it all came from Gemara, okay. So the Hebrew doesn't count. the Hebrew only confirm it.
Okay. So continuing, so Reb Elazar says, one Isser has meziach choshen me'al ha'efod, either loosen or disconnect the choshen from on the ephod. Va'mesir ba'de aron loke. And also, if you remove the bottom, the aron had these bottom, the poles, they're connected by little rings in the poles. If you disconnect the poles from the aron, that's also going to be subject to the issur of...
It says...
Malchus.
Right, that's Midaraisa, it says clearly.
Yeah. So he's going to bring the psukim now.
Yeah.
So you get Malchus for those two. Shenemar lo yizach velo yasuru. Two different psukim which explicitly tell. So these are three issurim that exist in the Big Day Kuna. Of all those parshas, the end of Sefer Shemos, of Big Day Kuna and the building of the Mishkan. So asks the Gemara, Maskev Rav Acha, by Yaakov, V'dilma ki kamar achmana chadkinu v'avdinu shapir kidei shelo yizach lo yasiru. Maybe Hashem tells us that you're supposed to, what does the word chadkinu mean? To tie them well, Rashi says. Kashim yafa, tie them very well. And the tabalos, make them very tight in such a way so that it shouldn't be able to be loosened or disconnected, or it shouldn't be able to be moved. So maybe it's not a lav, it just tells you how to fashion these different begadim and the Aron Kodesh, but not that there's a lav if you were to remove it. So Gemara has the same response as above, miksiv shelo yazach, izach shelo yasu. Does it say that so that you shouldn't remove it, so that you shouldn't take them out? It doesn't say sheh, it just says lo yizach, don't do it. And if you do, there's an issa deraisa. Lo yasur, don't remove the poles. If you do, there's an issa deraisa. Gemara now quotes a contradiction in Psukim, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, Rami, Ksiv. Rami always means literally throw. It means to put two Psukim, or sometimes two Mishnahs, next to each other, which contradict. So what's the contradiction? One Pasuk says, B'tabos Aron yu'abadim lo yasur mimenu. And the rings should be on the Aron, that the Badim should be within these rings, and you should not remove these rings, these poles rather. Uksiv, and elsewhere it's written, Vuva es badav bitabos, and you bring the badav in the tabos. Sounds like you put them in, that they're movable. So one says it should be in a way that you shouldn't remove them. Vuva sounds like you should, you can move back and forth the tabos. How is that possible? Haketad, Misparkin veinishmatim. Misparkin means it can move back and forth, slide back and forth, veinishmatim, however, it doesn't ever pass through the ring. So the way we saw the pictures was, I think Rashi explains this, but I'll say it first out. The middle of the poles were thin, and the outside of the poles were thicker. So you can move it back and slide them back and forth, but they'll never, the rings will never be able to go over the knobs, if you will, on the outside. I wonder if there's an image of this anywhere, but I guess you get the point. We'll just read that in Rashi. Rashi says it. Misparkim veinam nishbatim. B'rashayim hayu avim. The end of the poles were very thick. V'hachnis roshan dakin. Roshan echa rather bedochek. You first like plug it in, you stuff it in. B'tabas. U'vemtzon hayu dakin. And the inside was thin.
Here is all straight, but it's really not.
Right, exactly. Right.
No, oh, this is not. This is in the back.
That's in the back, yeah.
Right,
little knobs there. But it had to be the way Rashi
like
tells
us. Cotton run.
Right.
But all of gold.
I gave it my house.
I'll trade you the cotton with the gold.
Depends where you live.
But I never knew that Rashi explained. I always thought it was a nace that this was the way. How'd you get it in? Rashi says, no, the hole is big enough. You could stuff in the knob through. You put it hard, like sometimes, you know, they're...
You screw it out.
You force it in, but you can't never pull it out unless you pull really, really hard, I guess. But I always assumed it was an ace.
Screwed, like today. You unscrew, put, and screw back, and that's it.
Rashi says not that way, but maybe. Maybe.
Maybe they didn't address that, but it's thick and thin. How they put it in and out...
But that's
Rashi. Maybe it's a separate part, the knob itself.
It's possible. Rashi says no, it was one and you stuffed it in.
Oh, it was one, he said.
Rashi says it was one and you just stuffed it in and then it stayed.
So I would go with Rashi.
Gemara says now, where are we? Here we go. Tani Nami Hachi, Brisa says the same idea. B'tabos Aron, the rings on the Aron, Yehu Habadim, the Badim should be in there. You might think you shouldn't be able to move them. The poles have to be stuck in them without moving them back and forth. That you can move the bottom that were within the tabals. Well, if you're able to move these poles, maybe you could remove them and put them back in completely. They have to always be in the rings. You can never remove them. They can move, slide back and forth, but they can never be removed. Amarami Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina. Ma'idich, what does the pasuk mean that says atze shitim omdim, that the atze shitim, the wood that was used for the walls for the Mishkan, were omdim? What do you mean they stood up? So it says the Gemara, she omdim derech dilasan, when they placed the walls up, they had the lumber from the wood, they would put them in the direction the way it would grow. That's what it means, the omdim, the way it would grow, derech dilasan. We have a similar idea when it comes to lulav and esrog, hadasim and revels, you're supposed to hold them derech dilasan, the way they are. You're not supposed to hold a lulav upside down, you hold them the way, the Gemara says, the way it grows. That's why when it comes to an esrog, there's a big machlokas, how exactly do you hold the esrog? Because if you look in an esrog tree, it grows, it starts growing like the pitam upwards, but then when it gets very heavy, it flops down.
Right.
So what's considered derech dilasan? They have a discussion there. So what it means here also, derech dilasan, you place it standing upwards. So davar acher, alternatively, Gemara suggests, was omdimin. Omdim shemamidim es tzipuyam, that it was able to, you look at Rashi, says six lines from the bottom, shemamidim es tzipuyam. Tzipuyam means the outer layer, the gold covering. Tzipuy azov mamidim aidei masmeros. They would nail gold... plating on top of the walls. That's what it means, omdim ma'amidim, to keep them in place. And then the Gemara says, davar acher, yet another interpretation of what the word omdim means, davar acher omdim shema tomar ovid savran ubata tzichuyon tam elomer omdim sheomdim li'olam li'olamim. You might think that ovid savran, so look at Rashi says, shema tomar, this is four lines from the bottom, mishin nignizu, when it got hidden, I guess the Aron was hidden, and the other Kalim. Avad Sivron Shlo Yashuv Od. I don't know the word literally means Sivron, but you lose it forever. Wait, how do they interpret the word Savron here? Avad Savron? Ubata Sechuyon?
It says their promise is gone.
Tikvatam.
And their hope is ruined.
Tikvotam. Tikvotam. Uh-huh. What is it?
Hope. Tikvot, hope.
Yeah, but it's tikvotam. I don't
tikvotam.
Know
why. Sivat, tikvotam. Their hope.
Okay,
but why two vavs?
Tikva, when you do it.
Without a... It should be one vav.
Why?
Tikvatam, why
two vav? It's petach tikva.
And that would be tikvotam.
Why?
If not, you would say tikvotam.
You can say that.
Their hopes. Their hopes.
Many tikvot. Tikvotam.
It shouldn't be with a vav. It should be with a dot on top. Tikva is without, with one vav.
So I have no idea. Maybe you're right.
So the Gemara says, again, once there was Nignaz, once they lost the hope, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so you might have thought that it will never return again. These walls will never return again. Tam lomer omdim, she'omdim le'olam ulalamim. They're going to be around forever. Although we don't know where they are right now, they will return to us in the return of the Bai Shlishi.
They bring them our Shah that says that you might think the wood would rot over all this time.
Uh-huh.
But it's not. It'll be there when we need it.
Okay, so it's going to return and it's going to still be in good condition.
Right.
Okay. Last line of the Amud says, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina Maidich said, what does a pasuk mean when it says, as big day hasrad l'shareis b'kodesh? What does it mean, big day hasrad? So, explains the Gemara, il malei big day kuhuna, lo nishtair misoneim shal Yisrael, saridu palet. The pasuk big day hasrad means, had we not had the big day kuhuna, there would not remain any enemies of Klal Yisrael, any saridu palet, any officer of any sort. That, in other words, the enemies of Israel is a reference to the Rishon of Klal Yisrael. So how is that true? So Rashi says, Il Male Big Day Kuna, this is the top right, but there's no Toso, so the Rashi starts on the top right here. Il Male Big Day Kuna, Shayidayan, Makriven Harkabanos, Mechapren Al Yisrael.
So this is two Rashi.
Double Rashi, yeah. Rashis. Exactly.
First time I see it.
So, because the Big Day Kuna provided kapara to Klal Yisrael and to the Rishayim, that allowed the Rishayim to get kapara and live longer. That's what Big Day Sra, Lashon of Sarid and Palad of Son, leaving them, letting them live. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, Debei Rabbi Shimon, Tana, Begadim she gordin osan kibriyasan miklehen umisradim mehem klum. So Rashi, this next interpretation rather, says, it doesn't refer to, it's a different explanation, it refers to the way these things were made. That these begadim, so you look at Rashi, the second line down, shegordin osan kibriyasan mikileim, kishuchotchen osan begardin shalahan mito klei arigasan. They used to weave them. After you weave them, apparently you have to cut them off, whatever it was connected to. When they cut these begadim, they're fashioning them in the weaving, and they cut them off, usually, I guess you make large cloths, and you have to start shaping it and tailoring it for the person. They made this in such a way where it came right out of the weaving thing
like
to
make
fit.
Sweaters they make like that.
Okay, so.
Like they make it, let's say, here on the shoulders, they start weaving. They knit it smaller and smaller, and so as opposed to the wear long straight, then cutting it.
Uh-huh.
So they probably did the width of the fabric change according to the place that they had to do it. I didn't have to cut it.
Uh huh. So okay.
That
so
makes you, sense.
So are that's they still doing in Israel sweaters. I remember when I was there was many small manufacturers doing a lot of sweaters. A lot of them.
Okay, so that's how they would right. do the width along yeah. with the length. They would this way be
right.
pretty much tailored out.
You didn't have to cut it, right?
Okay, so that's what it means. Big day srad lashon of misardin mehem. So Rashi says misardin mehem klum means mishayarin mehem miktas shino arug mehem. There's just a little bit left over that wasn't woven. Vizel lashon srad, a little bit left over. Srad lashon of shayar left over. That's what big day srad means. Two different definitions of srad. So Gemara says, Mai, what was it that was left over? The little thing that was left over, they took the Big Day Kuna out, it was pretty much done. Rish Lakish Amar Elu Maisa Machat. Some last-minute sewing. They would weave it, but they had to do some last-minute sewing in order to complete the baggage. So Rashi says, Elu Maisa Machat, Miksasaya Nereg, Bifnei Atmo, Mechabra B'Machat. There was a little part of it, I don't know which part, was left woven independently, that had to be sewn
well,
to
they
attach.
They had to sew it to close it, I mean, they couldn't make a, like a circle. And
I don't know how it works. I have no clue.
No,
so you make it that way and they have to just...
Unless they had a whole different system. They probably did. Yeah, they had.
So even a sweater, you're saying, in the back or the front has to have a line where it gets sewed.
Yeah, but there are machines now that, you, let's say, T-shirts. They make them all. Some T-shirts, it's a circular machine that just keeps on going around. So you have like a tube, but then you always have to cut somewhere. There's no miracle. So either you fashion it and then you sew it together, or you make a circle and you cut it.
So there's something, we're not sure where, but there's some area that had to be sewn together.
Sure. There's no other.
Maybe one day I get to see how these things work. Okay, so...
Now you have to go to China. There's no factories and stuff.
Okay. So it says the Gemara now, Meisife. Big day kahuna ain't osan osan maisa machat. Ela maase oreg. We just said before there was maisa machat. And now this Brisa says the big day kahuna were woven together. They weren't sewn together. Shinemar, as the Pasuk tells us, maisa oreg. It was done through maisa oreg. How then was the Brisa above allowed to tell us you could do some of the sewing? So Amar Abaye, lo nitzacha ela lebeis yad shalahem. This is referring to the arms. The arms were done separately and then had to be connected through sewing. Kidetani, like the Braisa tells us, Beis Yad Shel Bigdei Kuna Nereges Bifnei Atmo, it was woven independently, and then Vinid Bekes Im HaBeged Umagas An Pisas Hayad. Then it was sewn together, connected, and then it reached until the hand. Okay, so that makes, I assume that's how shirts are made. They're made separately, then you could see the lines, how they're sewn together. So Amar Rachba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Shalosh Aronos also Bitzal. We're going on a different topic now. I guess we're discussing some of the Kalim, so we're going to discuss the way the Aron was made. And some of us may know this from the Rashi, explains this on the Al Torah. So how was the Aron made? Shalosh Aronos also Bitzal. Bitzal was the one who built the Mishkan with Moshe Rabbeinu. So there were three Arons. Emtzoi Shait, the middle one was made of wood. Tisha, it was 9 Tzvachim high. Pinimi, you have one here also.
Oh, yeah, it's exactly that picture.
Yeah. Yeah, the dark one is made of wood.
It's the same picture.
And then, where are we now? And that was 9 tefachim tall. And then Shazahav, Shmona, Chitzon, the outside. No, this makes sense.
I'm sorry, Shel Etz.
9 tefachim.
Yeah, Gavua, Mibachut, Tisha tefachim.
Okay, then Pnimi, Shazahav, Shmona. Okay, the inner one was 8. There we go. And Chitzon was also 10 and a little bit. So we know that the arm was 10 high, 10 tefachim high. This was 10. This is 9. This is 8. Okay. So, V'hatanya Chadasar Mashu, but doesn't another Brisa tell us that the outside one was actually 11 and a little bit? So there's a machlokus about a 1 tefach.
This is 1 tefach.
But that's what Gemara says, right? Lokasha. But we're talking about, not forget the part, this is called the kaporis, right? Forget the kaporis right now. Just talk about the boxes on the bottom.
He also had the...
The crown. That's right. The one I was going to answer. So one says it was 10 plus, one says 11 plus. What's the difference? Look, Asha. Hok kimandamar yesh ba'avav tefach. Hok mandamar ein ba'avav tefach. Umay mashu zer. Oh, the mashu is zer. So the machlokas is that the... whether the thickness was a tefach or was it not a tefach.
That's it. Yasita loves there's a half saviv.
No, but the Zer Zav is talking about the Mashu. We said there's a 10 in a Mashu and 11 in a Mashu. Uh-huh. So the Mashu, that was the Zer. The little crown that went around, that was a Mashu. But what was the Tefach?
The Mashu is covered by the Hu HaKeter HaZeh. The Yilu HaMashu is covered by Yehuda Hu Ovi Tachtav Tachtit HaRon HaChitzon.
The bottom. And that's how thick the bottom was.
Yeah.
So one time it was a 9, it was one Tefach thick, the bottom, plus the other 10...
אפעל פי שבבודאי מודה רב יהודה שיהיה זר לארון, ככתוב בתורה, אינו עוסק בממברה זו, אלא בעניין גוף הארון, ולכן לא החשיב את הזר בכלל בגובהו.
They included
it. He agreed that it was, but he figured that it wasn't part of the measurement.
Since
but,
it was the bottom.
Right.
Okay. So there's no machlokes in Metzias. Everybody could exist it,
right.
Just in terms of the calculation. And again, the little mashu that we referred to was the little zeh, the little crown that went on top of the aron, was the little mashu extra, on top of the 10 or on top of the 11, however you calculate it. Gemara says, now, Amar B'Yochan Shlosha, is that the right time? Yeah, okay. So Amar B'Yochan Shlosha Zeyim, we're running out of time actually, Shlosha Zeyim Ha'ein. There were three different crowns on three of the different kalim. Shel Mizbeach, the Mizbeach had a crown, the inner Mizbeach that is, Mizbeach HaKetores, Vishel Aron, Vishel Shulchan. Shem Mizbeach, Zocha Aaron. That of the Mizbeach, Aaron was Zocha too. But not alone, he took it. The Mizbeach was referenced, was connected to the Kesa Shekahuna.
I mean, not low, he took it.
He took that, the crown, not literally, he didn't literally take it, but Not that he made it, but each of these zarim were connected to Keser Torah, Keser Malchus, Keser Kuna that we have. Exactly.
Right.
So Keser Kuna, he took it and passed it on to his children. And then shall Shulchan, the Shulchan, Shulchan Malachim, he had Lashon Shulchan Malachim, Zachar David Minatlo, he took that of the Shulchan. Shulchan represents Ashiris. Ashiris, that's a Melech. Exactly. Shall Aaron Adai Munachu. That of the Aaron was never taken. That's already still placed in the Aaron. Who's that for? Kol Arota Likach Yavo Vikach. Anybody wants to come and take it. It's there. Even when I take it, it's still available for the next person. Everybody's allowed to take it. Torah is available for everybody. Kuna, only if you're from Kuna. Your Malchus, only if you come from Zera David. Torah, that's for everybody. Again, Munach, Kol Arota Likach Yavo. And a number of different Torah people say about the Aron. That's right, the Aron had the Badim on it. Why did it have Badim on it? Badim was what was used for it to move. It wasn't moving, it was staying stationary in the base of Mikdash. Why did they have Badim? To highlight the point that it's always accessible, it's always movable. Everybody's allowed to come and take it. So the Gemara says, Shema Tomar Pachosu. So maybe you're going to say it's Pachos, that the Aron, the Torah, is less than any of the other ones. Tamalomar b'mlochim yamluchu. B'mlochim yamluchu. What does that mean? So, is there Rashi?
B'chokhmat ha-Torah, melachim yamluchu. Ha-Torah omeret shehi ha-mamlicha melachim. Tena shamalchut mitkayemet al-yidei chokhmat ha-Torah ha-melamedet le-melech dinim ushpatim yisharim. Ve-kon shetorah memamlicha mamlichim bevaday gdola hi min ha-mamlchut she-arei gadol ha-mamlich melech yoter me-melech atzmo.
Okay, so apparently Rashi tells that this is the Torah talking. Torah itself is saying, Pasuk Mishlei, that I'm being mamlich on top of the Malchus.
Right.
The Torah is greater.
So since the Torah is mamlich melachim, then for sure it's more than a melech.
Exactly. So that's how we see Torah is not less than, it's greater than, and it's everybody's for everybody's taking. The Gemara says, now Rabbi Yochanan, Rami Ksiv, Rabbi Yochanan asks the following contradiction. Zer, Ksiv Zer, the Karinian Zir. So it's written as Zar, I guess, and it's pronounced as Zer.
Because it doesn't have a Yud.
Right. So Zocha, Nasas lo Zer. If you're Zocha, if you learn Torah properly, you're Zocha to the Zer, which is a crown. If lo Zocha, Zar himanu. If you're not Zocha to Torah, then it's strange from you. It's distant from you.
Right.
And Rashi says, Zocha, the bottom right, Rashi. Four lines from the bottom of the right. Zocha, Lilmo, Lishma, Lakaima. If you're Zocha to learn it, Lishma. Zara means mishachechas mimeno. You're going to forget it. So basically, if you learn Lishma, you're going to remember it. If you don't learn Lishma, then you're going to forget it. Says the Gemara now, Rabbi Yochanan Rami Ksiv Asisa Lecha Aron Eitz. One pasuk says, and you're supposed to make the Aron. Uksiv Vasu Aron Eitz Aseshitim. Another pasuk says, and they're supposed to make it. So is it an individual making it, or many people making it? How do you, Asisa versus Asu? Says Rabbi Yochanan, Mikan leTalmud Chacham shebnei Iro mitzuvin lasos lo melachto. So here we see that a Talmud Chacham of the city, the members of the city have to, they're commanded to make him a parnasa, make him, give him work, give him something to live with. Right, so Rashi just explains how we see this in the Pesuk. In Rashi, the bottom right says, mitzuvin lasos melachto. Sheharon betchila hitila kasuba melacha al-Moshe. It was initially, Moshe was charged with the responsibility of building the Aron by himself. Afterwards, was placed in the tzibur. How is that the case? So we see that the idea is that when there's a responsibility on the Talmud Chacham, in this case Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader, then the tzibur has to take it on their own responsibility, take it on themselves to help the Talmud Chacham carry out his melacha, his work. Mibayis Mechutz, 10 minutes we have. Mibayis Mechutz, the pasuk says, from in and out, titzapenu. You're supposed to put gold in the inside and gold in the outside. There were three boxes. The outside and the inside box were both of gold. Amarava kol Talmud Chacham she'ein tocho kibaro eino Talmud Chacham. Any Talmud Chacham whose tocho, whose inside, is not kibaro, like his outside, is not considered Talmud Chacham. In other words, he needs Yer Shemayim. If he doesn't have Pnimius, he doesn't have Yer Shemayim, Midos, Yer Shemayim, whatever, but all, if he doesn't have the inside, he's just simply there for the intellectual pursuit, or to give the impression that he's a Talmud Chacham, without anything inside, any Pnimius, then he's not a Talmud Chacham. Abai v'isei merabba bar ula nikra nisav. He's called a nisav, lashon to'eva, he's considered abominable. That pasuk seems to indicate such a person who doesn't have any of the tocho is considered a to'eva. Amar Rebbe Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Yochanan, my dichsev, what does the pasuk mean? Lama ze mechir b'yad ksil liknos chachma, v'lev ein, v'lev ayin, I think, right? So what's the good of the mechil in the one who ksil, the one who is distorted to acquire chachma if he has no lev? So Gemara interprets it as oy lahem lesonem shel tamid chachamim she'oskim b'Torah ve'ein behem yashamayim. So woe to the enemies of tamid chachamim, meaning people who learn but don't have yashamayim. Woe to them. That pasuk is referring to people who learn simply for the intellectual pursuit without the any kirvah l'Hashem. Machash Rabbi Yani made the following announcement. Chaval al dilesle darta vitira the darti oven. Chaval, too bad for those. How do they interpret this line here?
Chaval al mishe ein lo chatzer.
Aha. So Rashi says, the person who
had,
they have a gate, but they have no chatzer. So Rashi says, the top left. Tira le darasa avid shatora eino el shal likanes bal yeshmaim lechach tzarch shetakim lo yeshmaim. So the Torah is only a way to get in. You need yeshmaim. So I never understood this mashal so well. The Torah is the gate. Yeshmaim is the entrance. So if you have a Torah with a gate, but you have no chatzir to go to, so then what good is the gate? I always thought the yeshmaim was the gate to get into the Torah. Reishis chachma yiras Hashem.
I say that too.
So I saw this line.
I think it's the opposite. It's the Torah. HaTorah.
But that's what the Rashi says, that
right.
The Torah is simply a hechatimsi to get to the Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the goal. But we're also taught in the Gemara and Brachos, based on the Pasuk, the gracious Chachma, Yiras Hashem. The beginning of Chachma starts with Yiras Hashem. Yerushalayim gets you to Torah.
But how do you know Yiras Hashem? Only through Torah.
Right. So that's the beginning of the end. You need Yerushalayim to start. Through learning Torah, the Yerushalayim. Right. You need both of them. The question, what's like the order?
Right.
So it seemed like Yerushalayim is
first.
Exactly. They're both obviously important hand in hand. So then the Gemara says, Amar lehu rava l'rabbanan b'matus minaychu lo tirsun tarse gehenim. So, I guess he requests of them, please don't inherit, I don't want you to miss out on two worlds. Because if you're going to be learning without your Shemaim, you're missing out on the Olam Haba.
Because
you're so involved in learning, you're not getting any Gashmis,
right.
You're missing out on this world also.
Right.
So please, either work, make some money, and enjoy this world, or really learn Lishma and have Olam Haba, which of course would perhaps be the better approach.
This is a good word.
Actually, it's not.
What?
So what do you mean?
Now, for nowadays, it's a very, because some kids just spend the day, you know.
So if you learn Torah, you're not enjoying this world, you're suffering in this world.
No, you're just missing out on an opportunity of a lot of hana.
You're wasting time because you basically...
The opposite is true. Because this is all, you know, all misleading. This hana, this yetzera, this, you know, taiva, it's all misleading.
What do you mean?
Meaning that the true hana is learning the Torah. You're not missing out if you're not learning, you know, in this world. The next world, you'll be zochin. You'll be zochin two worlds.
No, he's saying if you...
this one and in the next one if you learn Torah.
No, but
no,
the opposite is also...
you don't learn with your Shemaim, he's saying. If you learn without your Shemaim, you learn just because you... it's
here
fun.
Here it says not even... if you're not Mekayim it.
Yeah.
Like if you learn and you're not Mekayim.
That's what Rashi says. I see. Rashi says... Tarte Gehenim, if you look at Rashi top left, Leos Yigim, the person's involved, Vamelim B'Torah. He's involved. He's learned a lot. He's Hasmada. Bom haza v'lohit kaimu. He doesn't makayim it.
Right.
That's what the din is.
Tirshu
gehenim b'moschem. He's going to get gehenim u'b'chayechem lo nantim el ha'machem. In this world, he didn't get any hana.
From what you learned?
Well, from the world itself. If you're so involved in hasmada.
Because they're the whole day learning, but they're not learning l'shem Hashem. They're not makayim. It's basically they're wasting the time.
So, from the learning
well,
itself, they're not enjoying.
Yeah.
Continues the Gemara. We have just a few minutes left. I'm a Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. My dichse. What's the pasuk mean when it says "Vezos haTorah she'sam Moshe"? This is the Torah that Hashem that Moshe placed. Zuchus zacha naaseh lo sam. Sam chayim. Lo zacha naaseh lo sam misa. If you're zocha, if you learn it l'shma, you're going to have it as a way to live. If you don't, you're not zocha shelo l'shma. It's going to be a sam mavis. It's going to be a poison for you. V'hainu d'amar Rabbi. This is what Rabbi used to say. The uman la sama de chaya, the lo uman la sama de musa. If you're an expert, so then it's going to be a good medicine. If you're not an expert, it won't be good medicine for you. It'll be poisonous for you. You have to know what you're doing. In other words, do it the right way. So I'm a Rabbi Yishmuel bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yonas on Rami Ksiv. The pasuk says, "Pikudu Hashem Yisharim Misam Chilev." The pekudim, the commandments of Hashem are straight, and they're going to make someone happy. Uksiv. Another pasuk says, "Amarta Hashem Shufa."
Imrat Hashem.
Imrat Hashem. It says. Im Hashem Tzufa. So what does Lashon Tzufa mean? Biyusurim Begheadim, says Rashi. So what do you mean? If you, the words of Hashem are supposed to be painful, or are they supposed to be happy? Zocha Misam Chasa, if you're Zocha, they're going to be joyful for you. Lo Zocha Tzarefasu, and if you're not Zocha, it's going to be painful for you. Reish Lakish Amar Migufa Dekra Nafka, and the very pasuk itself seems to indicate this. The nafka zacha taraf salachaim lo zacha taravasalamisa. The word taraf could be used in two different ways. If you're zocha, it's going to be good taravasalachaim. It's going to force you into something of life. If you're not going to be zocha, it's going to taravasal. It's going to force you into into death. Yiras Hashem Torah omedeslad. The pure fear of Hashem is going to stand forever. So I'm a Rabbi Chanina zehalomi Torah b'tara. Someone who learns in pureness, purity. Mahi, what does it mean, learn in purity? No se'isha v'acharkach lomid Torah. First you get married, and then you learn. Eidus Hashem ne'emana, and that what does it mean that the testimony of Hashem is believed? Amar Rebbe Chia bar Abba ne'emana hi lahoid blomdea. That the Torah itself is going to come testify in the world to come of those who learned it. Ma'isa Rokim, the Gemara says, what do you mean Ma'isa Rokim, going back to Big Day Kuna? Ma'isa Rokim is Ma'isa Choshev. Okay, what does that mean, Ma'isa Choshev? Are there two different psukim? So Amar Rabbi Elazar shirokmin b'makom shechoshvin. There'd be rokmin. Rashi says first they would mitchila mesakin et tzura al beged aydei tzeva. First they would dye it. V'acharkach rukma b'macha. Then they would sew it, I guess.
They would first paint the shape of the clothing, and then they would
sew it together. I don't get exactly the Metzias here.
Betchila yu roshmim tzura al habeget al yedei tzeva.
Uh-huh.
I guess they would just maybe draw.
Outline it.
And then they would...
sew on the lines.
I think so.
Okay. So this is talking about the parochas, I think. Ah, so I think the next price it says...
That's the embroidery. Right. More than anything else. Okay.
So Tana Mishmei Derbi Nechemia, roke maisa machat, lefikach part of echad choshev maisa oreg, fikach shnei part sufos. So what does this mean that they
Maser Rokem Hainu Maser Machat Rikmat Tziur Al Gabei Eruk Heasui Kvar Lefichach Haya Bo Partuf Echad Hayu Rokmim Tziur Echad Shemayire B'Shnei Tzidei Abeget. Because it was an embroidery, so you could see it on both sides.
So I think Maser Rokem is Maser Machat. Sewing you could only see on one side. Maser Choshev was something you could see on both sides. That was a weaving.
Maseoreg is that the different colors are part of the weave.
Okay.
And the other one is like an embroidery on top.
I see. So the embroidery on top, so you could only see on one side.
Right.
The one that goes through part of the weave, that's right. Going to be on both sides.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to go see these factories once, how these things work.
It's funny because I have an office. And I have people working for me, and I'm dying for them to go and see a real factory. It's just no factory.